The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting to 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Friday morning on the Space Show. It's Friday morning, California time. And I am your host, David Livingston. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we're going to have a pretty interesting full-length program discussion today with one of our good friends. And we're happy to have him back on the show. And, of course, I'm referring to Jose Ocasio-Christian. And Kalia's partners. So first of all, the toll-free number, if you would like to give us a call, is 1-866-687-7223. And then you can also email us at drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. And in addition to that, you can post on our blog. To do that is open up the website, thespaceshow.com, all the way to the far right is the upcoming show menu bar. This is the first show listed. It is also our blog page and archive page. So open it up, and commentary is all the way down at the bottom. As soon as you post your question or your comment for our guest, I can then receive it and bring it into the program at the appropriate time. And one more note about that, remember that you do not have to be logged in to a Discuss account. You can post commentary on our blog as a guest, which is what I always do because I'm lazy. But the telephone is the preferred way, 1-866-687-7223. And if there's a backup way, I would say it's email, drspace@thespaceshow.com. So while you're there at our website, thespaceshow.com, our full website newsletter is there, center right. And it has all of the programs detailed for this week, which is now almost over. And it also has all of the upcoming programs that we're booking, and we're coming up on completing quarter number 2. I find that hard to believe already. So do check it out. The new website newsletter will be posted Sunday afternoon after the Sunday Space Show program. And everything we do on our website is archived, and you can download quickly all of the shows, or you can easily listen to them right off of our website. If you want the email, very short newsletter sent to you, it goes out at 6 a.m. Monday morning, California time, please give me your email address. It's very, very short. It will not clutter up your email box. Do remember we have a store with Space Show logo wear. If you're interested in that, the best way to do it is over on the right side of the homepage. Click on any of the Pepper pictures, and this takes you to our store on Cafe Press, plus our new line of Pepper swag for those of you that are interested in that. But that's the easiest way to get to our Space Show store for logo wear. And then also, upper menu is Listen Live. This is very important, and you can share this with information with others. It tells you how to listen to live programs, compressed MP3 archives off of our website, and also podcasts, including those that appear on Alexa. And we're in iTunes and Alexa and a whole host of other organizations and podcasting services. If you have recommendations for us to be in your favorite podcast client or server, please let me know and we'll do our best to comply. And do that by emailing me at drspace@thespaceshow.com. The most important information there is supporting the Space Show. So remember, we're listener supported. We're a nonprofit 501c3 with one giantleapfoundation.org, and your financial support keeps the program going and having fine guests like we have today with Jose. And remember, if you pay U.S. federal taxes, you get a tax deduction for your gift. If you're a California taxpayer, you also get a tax deduction, as we're a public benefit corporation in California. Visit our parent, OneGiantLeapFoundation.org. If you're interested in being on our Space Show One Giant Leap Advisory Board, email me and I'll give you the details, or although you can check that out under Teams at our One Giant Leap website. And remember that we podcast, and you can pick that up in iTunes as well as other places. Our podcast client is Gigadial. And in addition to that, we're trademarked and copyrighted, and you're free to download all of our programs and share them, although it's easier just to give people the URL. Please don't do anything commercial with our program. Don't edit, cut, or clip them and put edits or anything up on any website, including YouTube, and written transcripts are not permitted. If you do have a special need for something to do with a Space Show program, email me, and let's see if we can work that out. And then one more thing, we do have sponsors. And remember, sponsors get their banner ad going across our homepage. You can change that banner ad whenever you want. And on full-length programs like today, I do read sponsor messages at the beginning of the first segment and then again at the second segment. So Moonwords is a sponsor for the first segment. What if a group of nations was determined to build a town on the moon and they based their decisions only on technical and economic merit? Moonwords is building a digital version of that town. You will learn to play, build, and go to events there. Visit moonwords.com, download an early draft of the demo town, and fund its development by subscribing. Help us see a bigger future where we can leave our past behind us. The Space Foundation sponsors us, the 35th Symposium, wow, just around the corner, April 8th through the 11th in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Broadmoor Hotel. Their one-stop shopping all website for hotels for everything. SpaceSymposium.org. If you have never been to a space symposium, you need to go to at least one in your lifetime. They are unique. The networking is like nothing you've ever seen. You may be meeting heads of state or heads of different countries, military or space organizations. It's an amazing group of people. So do check it out, SpaceSymposium.org. And we're happy that Northrop Grumman sponsors us. They are a leading global security company providing innovative systems, products, and solutions for government and commercial customers globally. Their capabilities go from under the ocean to outer space and into cyberspace. So please do check that out. And then other sponsors come on board for us in the second segment. Although I do want to mention AIAA. They are a great sponsor, good friend of mine. And they are, of course, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, the largest aerospace professional society ever. Five events, great networking. Visit their website, AIAA.org, and really a great organization. So we're very happy that they're a sponsor. And by the way, you do not have to be an engineer to be a member. So that brings me to reintroducing briefly, because we have lots to talk about, our guest, Jose Ocasio-Christian, and we're going to talk about the Calius Foundation as well as Calius Partners. He's going to distinguish the two between us, and then we're going to go forward from there. Jose, welcome back to the Space Show. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much, David. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Good. Great. No, it's great to be back. I am coming out to you from Redmond, Washington, where kind of it all started for Calius Partners. Before there was a Calius Partners, we were doing investments, so we're here at a big investment dorm in Redmond, seeing old friends. A lot of these folks have been very helpful at the beginning of my career after I finished in the military to understand investment and the play that it goes with it. So it's good to be back in Redmond. And then this week has been a very busy week being in Washington, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. So very excited to be here. And as always, David, I dedicate the show to my wife, Kelsey, and my two kids, Rock and Kim, who are a big part of my life.
You're going to need an airplane with a big office in it, given all the travelings you're doing.
Yes, David. We just, as you know, last December we finished an 18-month project on community and space, and pretty much traveling to every spacefaring nation except one, and working everything from business deals to policy and technology understanding. So it's been an incredible journey.
The difference between Caelius Partners and Caelius Foundation. So clarify that for us. Let's get that as a starting point.
For your listeners, a couple of weeks ago, you have Michael Wolfram Ames, our president, talk to you a little bit about Caelius Partners, actually a lot about Caelius Partners, and some of the work we're doing from the Community in Space campaign. For those that haven't listened to that show or have never listened to me or have heard different versions of what it is we do, at the end, there is a Community in Space campaign. That campaign answers particular questions. Number one, how much commercialization, privatization, and international trade can you do within the geopolitical spectrum of space? And that includes security, policy, and other trade regulatory standards. The answers to, and then the second question is, how do you do it once you figure out what that is? The value to those questions to particular organizations, financing institutions, some folks in industry, is very, very valuable. As a result, there are two organizations. We initially started with Caelius Partners back in 2016, analyzing how do we get after that. And initially, it was through consulting. We then grew as we learned that it was about financing. And then, obviously, if you're doing one and the second, you are going to be investing either your own money or other people's money. That organization is right now doing a lot of the work on economic development and financing structures to address this commercialization of space. In other words, how do we integrate private wealth, whether it's to public-private partnerships, whether it's independent, do we do it internationally, all those things. So that organization, Caelius Partners, does that. And Micah did a fantastic job articulating how we got there. Caelius Foundation, on the other hand, came out as is a nonprofit organization that is focused on the dialogue associated with this question about commercialization of space, and then how much can you do and how did you do it? That, the reason why we initially, almost as soon as we started executing the campaign that had to happen, for those of you that heard us on our first show back in December 2017, we had just come to China to present academically Community in Space, and we started learning very quickly that in order to maintain a dialogue with someone like China or a country, in countries, not just China, but other countries around the world, some that are even allies to us, to have a discussion about the commercialization of space really required a nonprofit organization. And furthermore, you don't want to mix business with a dialogue. So it was prudent for us to do a nonprofit organization. And for that, the executive director is To Tran Nguyen. She's in Belgium. There's no tie between Caelius Partners, Caelius Foundation, other than some of the members to help guide that foundation. So the foundation is focused on the dialogue associated and the educating and understanding for general audiences. So it's not just the space folks, but also general audiences around the world. The challenges associated with this commercialization of space. How do you get more private consumerism to occur? How do you get private investment to occur? And those kinds of things. And today, the show is going to be focused on some of the success. We've had this foundation for about a year now, and it's had some incredible success already. We're actually officially launching the foundation this spring, but there was so much traction going on initially that we had to stay with it, invest family and friends money to make sure that it went. So at this point, obviously, we're going to be raising funding and going to be looking for people to volunteer, membership, and things like that. But right now, the foundation is small membership. There are three members and three volunteers. And we have been moving this forward with the support of many, many organizations. And we'll talk about that later on. But for your audience, that's how we separate the two.
Jose, you say something that I find very interesting, because I don't believe either myself or anyone else on a space shuttle program has ever asked how much commercial space or wealth creating space can be created or can be put into play or be sustained. Nobody's ever looked at that as having some kind of a limitation or constraint on it.
Yes, sir.
You know, they've been looking at it in terms of how do you have more market access? How do you open the market? How do you expand? How do you make sure that, you know, the launch industry and some of the startups don't start to flop, you know, because of market saturation or the markets aren't even there in the first place?
Understood.
You're asking a different question. So I'm asking you to elaborate on that specific
Absolutely.
Question that
and,
you're asking.
So this is on the genesis of community in space. And so in Kayla's partners, our clientele are banks, family offices, folks that are high net worth individuals that have a particular niche that are looking to invest in an economic development type manner. Some lower investors that are looking for simple companies. We also work with entrepreneurs, and we work with space agencies as well. As a matter of fact, we put an offer to every space agency except anything in China, but we have put offers on the table on how to partner and collaborate with other agencies. So we have a pretty big, wide net of clientele. The clientele in the financial district, when as we used our network initially, I'll give you a no-kidding question that we received was, we have $500 million in private wealth. It is right here. And it is invested in these areas, in other markets. The question was, when and how do you move it to something like space? And, of course, when you're answering that question as a consultant, what you start finding out is that there's a geopolitical play in a security apparatus that sits over that commercialization that, depending on how it's interpreted, it has a significant limitations globally on returns. So, for example, if you're saying the United States, there is a lot of limitations of what you can invest worldwide because of the preponderance of that space industry and that pace commercialization is dealing with the security apparatus of our nation. And rightfully so, by the way. Don't think of this like, David, like we don't believe that that's right. No, it is. So there is a fine line for investors that are not accustomed to investing in defense to go, are we going to do that type of defense investment? The answer is no, because if they would have, they would have already done it. And by the way, if you do it, you would do it through the stock market. You wouldn't do it through a direct investment or a loan.
Oh, yeah, because these companies are mostly publicly already public companies.
Right.
Traded, yeah.
So then the question becomes, I have private wealth money in my bank, or I have private wealth money in my family office. How do I, on a large scale, invest so that I can either stimulate an economy, I can grow it from there? And the fact is, you have limitations on international trade that the banks automatically are turned off. They go, well, I can't expand it beyond the borders of this country or a country. Don't just, please, as I say this, don't just pick on the United States, but on any country. So there are significant limitations on that. So our job is to help, not educate, to find a solution. So in other words, most folks will consult and say, well, here's your answer, here's the bill, or don't go to some lawyer and here's a regulatory. No, what we've been asked is, can this be solved? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know, but we're going to try. Because why? Because I have unconditional faith, like you've heard me say before, that we're doing the right thing and we're trying to approach it the right way. Does that mean we're right and we're better than anybody else? Absolutely not. But I have faith that this answer, it has significant importance to the value and economic development growth of our communities here on Earth. So it's not just how do we get to space? How do we help people on Earth be invested in this thing? And you've got to answer those types of questions to some really, really large wealth families and people in order to get the machine moving. So that's the difference between Kalis Partners and everybody else, and pretty much anybody else who's doing either a fund or consulting or those kinds of things. Do we raise funds? Of course we can do that. Of course we work with people on that. Can we help raise money? Absolutely. But that, we have a much, when it comes to community and space, which is our campaign, there's something much bigger at play here. And that's why, kind of getting it back to the foundation, that is why the foundation has to exist, because there has to be a dialogue that helps educate citizens, not just you know, government and folks like that, but everyday citizens to understand the complexity of the problem, that there are some decisions that need to be made, and that their community development and economic development is at stake because of it, especially in, like Michael was saying the other 2 days ago, you know, 2 weeks ago. There's a dialogue that has to be had because some of these economic development processes happen around baseboards. So there are humans in it at the end of the rainbow, and it's very, very important for them. So that's why we carry this torch the way we do.
So, again, you differ from practically everybody else who's been on the show, who looks within the borders and looks for traditional business and entrepreneurial market expansion, you know, possibilities, constraints, et cetera. You're way beyond that.
Yes, sir. And I'm sorry, David. I know I violated our rules, sir. But yeah, yes, David. We're well beyond that. And in order to carry this out, the type of organization we are, the company is seven or eight, depending on who, you know, comes to, depending on who volunteers to help us out in certain scenarios. But is eight folks, Kalis Partners. The foundation, like I said, is three members, three volunteers. And we run that with a very small team, very intimately. And then we go around the world to figure this out. And it's not just for, like, the clients, the money. No. On the Kalis Foundation, we have to figure this out for the dialogue. And that's what drove us. The dialogue is what drove us to this workshop that I want to talk to you about when it came to China. And again, it's pretty tough. But please, as we talk through this, we have pretty much sat everywhere. We've been to Australia. We've been to Europe. We understand the landscape both on policy and finance and technology in Europe, as well as the United States, as well as in Asia. You know, China's a little different. We'll talk about that. In the European bloc countries, Southeast Asia, India, you name it. So we had to put boots on the ground. That project took about 18 months, and we finished December 7th, to be exact, is when we finished. And now the Kalis Partners is doing activities, and the foundation has two activities that they've already done. And one, as you know, David, we briefed back in April, and that was the informal working dialogue. For those of you that don't know, the informal working dialogue, we did that at the Space Symposium. It was an unadvertised event that we invited selected people. We took their name tags off. We took their uniforms off, put them in a room. In some cases, there were competing elements around the world. And we had a dialogue about space. And there were some pretty senior leaders in the room. And what we learned was appalling, David. We learned that in a room full of people that had 20 to 30 years experience in the space domain, next to people who'd never seen anything in space. It was like their first space symposium, like you advertise. And they showed up because they've never seen anything like it. And you had these folks in the room. And you couldn't even get the terminology straight to be able to dialogue. So in other words, what is commercialization of space? What is a commercial company? What is a private company? What is the difference between new space and everything else? Like simple terminology. And in some cases, we learned that there were nations, entire nations, making assumptions and decisions based on naming conventions as company categorized themselves, which was it was incredible, David. So we said, this is a major problem for commercialization. Is that saying that new space is a bad word? No. It simply says new space is not clear. Commercial, civil, subcontracting, private. It was not clear. And if it wasn't clear to a room full of space industry experts and civilians, what do you think is going to be at a bank? Not a VC. VC is a different thing, but a bank that's trying to do the large loans to get the system, the economic system for space started. Can you imagine how difficult it must be for those guys that see enormous deals of economic development around the world, and then they're seeing this thing about space, and everywhere they look, they see different terminology that doesn't connect. They even bring in their analysts, they do reports, and they still can't put it together. So now, in conjunction with the Secure World Foundation, and I wish they had been here today, but they're doing, David, as I told you earlier, they're doing their spring internal workshop, and they couldn't be here today. And Hototran, I wish you were here too. But for the audience, you guys know better. You don't ask a PhD student that's defending in the spring of defending to come to a show. That will get you in trouble. So that's why I'm briefing it today. But the point to the story is, to the definitions, we are now doing a research work with the Secure World Foundation to help bring the results and awareness on this. And this is something on the community in space that is the end result of the work we have done. We saw a problem. We are now on the dialogue level doing and addressing that. The second project, which I kind of want to spend more time on, David, is a workshop on commercialization of space between China and U.S. from a global perspective that is going to happen, and you know, cross your fingers, it's going to happen April 25th in Shenzhen, China. And we, the Kalis Foundation, with the Chinese Society of Astronautics, as well as the Secure World Foundation, are going to be participating in that event together. It's a small three-hour workshop, but I think the background and how we got here, I think will be of interest to your listeners. I think they'll have questions about the things about what we're doing.
You have a caller who wants to talk to you. You want to take the call?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hi, caller. Welcome to the program. Who are you? Where are you, please?
This is Marshall in Little Retro.
Okay.
Listening to your program, one of the things that kind of comes up is how you sound like you've been traveling around to many small countries around the world. And my thought was, you know, countries like Thailand or maybe even Pakistan or, you know, the Philippines or something like that. You have meetings with them trying to gather some support for maybe a specialized payload that they would support. Is there a real communication problems with their level of expertise and getting something done? Because let's face it, government coffers are bigger than banks.
So Marshall, thank you for calling. First of all, I appreciate it. So in terms of, so let's separate the country names. Let's discuss. To that way, people don't get confused, because then you start making assumptions. Let's take country names out to make this simpler. But the question you're asking is, you know, to rephrase it, in my journey, how difficult is the communication to gather support on the commercialization of space from a private perspective? Is that, I want to make sure.
Well, I was thinking private / small country government, because,
yep, Roger.
You know.
Okay. And we have plenty of small governments that we talk to and we did along the way. So let me share this with you. And this is going to get into some of the other guests that we've had about China and about the discussion of the security of space and growing the United States and growing around the world. If you're a government, so let's just, again, don't worry about the country name. Just leave that out. But if you're a country government, your number one priority is the sovereign needs of your country. Plain and simple. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. And by the way, Jose and Kayla's partner, Kayla Foundation, nobody's contesting that. But what happens is, if there's an established structure of government investment, technological development, there is a policy in some cases. Some countries don't have policy. Some countries do about space, and they have space agencies, et cetera. The more that they do, what we're finding is the more difficult it is to bring in private wealth. And you're like, why? But don't they want it? Yes, they want it, but they don't want to sacrifice the control that they maintain because sovereign rights for me come first. So that is the challenge, Marshall. The challenge is not shoot at sovereign countries, take care of its needs, and maintain leadership in space. No, God, you know, if you're in the United States as a soldier, having served for 24 years and a taxpayer, I expect my country to stay number one. That isn't the question here. The question here is, how much private consumerism can you do, and how much letting go of controls, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's policy, whether it's financing? Because remember, if I can show in a country or in any country that privatization is growing, then why is the government having to dump more money into that program? So then if you don't dump more money, then you mean government jobs are lost or government projects are lost. So then you're like, no, I want to fight for my project. So you have this dynamic in many, many countries where this is an issue, where you're saying, I want commercialization of space, I want private, public, private partnership, but no, I don't want to give up my government program because I don't want it to be replaced by a private entity or by a banking controlled and loan and the board being managed by a civilian guy or gal or whatever. So that's some of the riddles that we're running into as we do community space.
But they have no private, they have no government space program to begin with, most of these smaller countries. So what are they really giving up?
Right. So in the case of smaller countries without, so for example, so the example I gave is of current spacefaring nations that have government capability. The ones that don't have it, what they end up giving is their treasure, their talent. And in some of these countries, in many of these countries, there is incredible talent. And that's one of the things we wrote about in the lesson learned from Community in Space, that the talent around the world to take care of technology issues and intellectual properties in space, there's plenty of it. There's no shortage of it. Somebody says that we're short. We're not short. there's no shortage of it. The issue becomes is how you invest in those individuals, how you find them, invest in them, and get them to participate in the right organization. If you're in a space-faring country, in a non-space-faring country, then it becomes a visa thing, how to get this individual out. But he happens to be a technical expert on satellite, blah, 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 fill in the blank. Well, then those guys try to come through academic means to a space-faring country, and they try to do that. If they cannot, then they're stuck, and then they become an electrical engineer, and they provide service in another industry with their education. So in non-spacefaring countries, what you're going to find is the talent treasure being protected. So it's obviously difficult to bring in private wealth and do it, and then does the government want to invest in that because you're getting started from the ground? That's one challenge. Spacefaring nations is talent pools of individuals, and many of you guys in your show will know it. How many people are going to listen to a person coming to our show that is interested in space that's been working, say, in automotive? And you'll be like, well, maybe some. But you're definitely going to listen if I told you that the individual went to Embry-Riddle and worked at NASA and now is working on this. You're going to be like, oh, my God, I want to hear. Well, a very similar dynamic. Credibility is only gotten by certain government institutions or by certain companies and by certain ways. And it limits the ability to be able to grow the talent. That's one of the things we found, Marshall, as we thought. How does that translate up, higher to people that are trying to conduct loans? Again, when you see those indicators, are you going to put $100 million into that dynamic, or would you rather put $100 million in commercial real estate? That's a no-brainer, commercial real estate. It's easy, it's easily exchangeable. I can sell real estate to anybody, and when it comes to the higher levels, space loses because of some of the challenges that we
have. One of the key things I was thinking of is basically a language barrier, but you're saying it's not a language barrier. It's basically social interaction. I find that fascinating.
Exactly. And Marshall, part of the challenge, and this is the biggest gap we identified, there's a lack of transparency, a lack of dialogue, and a lack of resiliency. Not from an institutional space, no, not from technology, no, that's not what I'm talking about, but in terms of economic growth for the industry outside of government channels, the challenge is the dialogue, the transparency that's needed so that people can understand this, and then the resiliency that is required because of the level of complexity of the problem. And so again, because of those reasons, now as an audience can go, oh, well, no wonder why a lot of the spacefaring nations treat commercialization of space as a national security issue. Why? Because the alternative, it doesn't exist yet. There isn't that base to be able to lend money and grow it from there. And again, when you're dealing with the government's either going to say, okay, our country is not really interested in space, and we don't want to give up our talent, so it kind of stays dormant and just waits until they buy a service from a spacefaring nation. And then if you're at a spacefaring nation, then a lot of the contracting is nation-state driven for nation-state purposes, which is perfectly fine. Again, that's not a judgment. But again, you're asking, how do you get consumerism? How do you get commercial to go? How do you get these private industries to actually transfer, participate, and grow it? And the answer is, these are some of the answers we're finding. So the foundation addresses this.
Jose, are you finding a disconnect with what the governments are doing and the public opinion within their own country, or do they not even care about public opinion, or is there no way to express it? What are you finding there?
That depends. David, that's a good question. And that depends on where you're at. If I have to give a blanket answer, which is really hard to do for something like that, at the end of the day, if the government associates community development on Earth with the investments in space, that has been probably across the world where you're getting the most interest. Not interest like imagination and I see the stars and I'm going to the moon one day and I'm going to wear my astronaut t-shirt. I'm going investment as in wanting to participate. And it's usually when the governments are doing the work to dialogue, to connect with general audiences in a way that they can invest in their community, that's when you're seeing the success. And if it becomes more of a security apparatus, then, yeah, you're getting investment, but it is the subcontracted investment. In other words, here's my requirement, do this, and you go, I need a job, so you work there. But when you get the innovation going, get the cross-market integration going, is usually because that country has a good dialogue going on internally about how to develop the community. And so if I had to give you an example of it, I would probably say somebody like Japan, where they make a really good effort internally to connect the people to do that. And again, it's not a comment of favor and say that's better. It simply is what it is. It's not a better or worse. It's just,
okay.
It's just what it is.
Marshall, anything else from you?
Not really. Enjoyed it. And somebody has to be out there trying to crack that hard nut. Thank you for doing a good job.
No, you're welcome. And again, I don't claim that we're going to be successful. I simply claim that somebody's trying.
Yeah.
That we generally have faith that we're gonna persevere. That's it. I can't promise you anything, but I keep trying. That's all I can do.
Thank you, Marshall.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listeners, Marshall has vacated our phone line. If you would like to use it, it is 866-687-7223. And back to you, Jose.
Yeah, so what I want to do, David, is talk a little bit about this workshop and kind of the genesis of it, because I think what it will do, it will help our audience understand further about the foundation and the kind of things we've done so far. And not only that, it'll help split that dialogue between what the message we're sending and the message that, like, D-Chain, Doug Lovero, Namrata, everybody's bringing up about the U.S. need to be further ahead. So what I will do is take us back a little bit to our first show when we were back in December 17th. And I just came back from China, and we presented Community and Space as an academic. Believe me, there was so much legal review on that presentation that I still feel the scar tissue from that. But we presented it, and it was well received in Shanghai and by the Chinese Society of Astronautics. And they had asked us to continue the dialogue on commercialization of space and kind of the questions we were looking at. And, of course, when we reviewed that with our legal team, the legal team was like, no, you cannot do that. It's not logical. Do it as a private entity. And we were already looking at a foundation, so the foundation did it. And what we did is we followed the footsteps of the Space Foundation. As you know, as many of you know, Space Foundation, about maybe 12 years ago, signed an MOU with the Chinese Society of Astronautics about exchange of education and information and dialogue. And we did the very same thing right away. Because we knew, we didn't know then what we knew now, but we did know that this was a big deal, that they were interested in connecting with us and continuing the dialogue. And, of course, we have to tread very carefully on that. I can't stress that enough, the level of difficulty that is. So please not think that it is Jose picks up a phone and says, hey, what's up? Let me tell you what's going on. That is not how it works. It is very calculated between both of us. We have a mutual respect. To Tran, who is an expert in communications, has been invaluable in leading us through this. So do not think it's a Jose thing. It's the Kalos Foundation thing. So fast forward through the spring, we started, as any good organization like ours, we started looking globally at what's going on, and we started seeing that the Chinese started doing commercial transactions, and they were unique. They were very unique, and we thought that was great. They were doing something, and somebody says, "Oh, you want to follow up that?" Well, I say, well, it's not good or bad. It just is. The United States, as a sovereign nation, takes care of itself, and they take care of themselves. That's that. And we'll talk more about that. Fast forward to the summer, we were at the Unispace Plus 50, hosted by UNOSA and Copius. I was with my executive director there. And the CSA members approached us about a workshop on commercialization of space for China. We were kind of blown away. Why would you come to us? But apparently they asked us, and of course we said, hey, we got to go to our legal team. We got to check this out. the legal team is like, this is a little you can do. This is how much you cannot do. I said, okay. We sent a note back and said, look, within the regulatory standards of what we can communicate, this is how much on a commercialization workshop we could ever do. And 6 weeks later, which is for those of you that are that follow anything with Chinese and how they deliver information, that was very quickly for them. They provided a yes. We can do something very small, very simple, and do that. So fast forward. And again, at the time when this happened was in the early fall, we weren't really going to talk about it because it was not really that big of a deal. It was a test run. The foundation's young. We're figuring it out as we go. But things change in January, David. And in January, the Chang'e 4, as many of you know, landed in the far side of the moon. And the next day, we received an email. And the email, everybody received a call with that. That basically said, look, we want to have a dialogue about the Sino-U.S. commercialization of space and the global implications. And for your audience, to get something like that, first of all, it's incredibly humbling because, this is not something that we do. Nobody implied that this was going to happen. It just did. And we took that very seriously. At the time, we made a decision as a board in the foundation to reach out to the Secure World Foundation. And they are, just so that everybody understands, they are the experts in maintaining dialogue about space issues. And if you are not familiar with Secure World Foundation, I would urge you to go check it out. They understand the necessity of the dialogue. We approached them with this. They thought this, we obviously shared a lot more indicators and things that we saw that we thought this was important, and they agreed. And then, so we started preparing for this workshop. And, And just this week, to make sure, we were in Washington, D.C., visiting different offices and leadership in space to articulate what was happening. And again, it's not because the workshop is happening. The workshop, again, 3-hour workshop, no media, no recording devices, is going to be very, you know, it's going to be very structured, to say the least. Nobody wants to screw this up. Nobody wants to embarrass anybody. Nobody wants to give an H to anybody else. But the effort that is being made, a message to you guys, the effort that is being made on the dialogue is something to be recognized. The workshop may not even happen. If anybody dealt with China business in general, things can shut off at any time. But you can look at it as the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. And in the foundation, with our values of unconditional faith, I will tell you that I look at it as half full, that there was a dialogue interest there, that it's going to take a different type of individual to engage that dialogue. That's not our foundation. But it's great that we're able to help the Secure World Foundation, who is more than qualified to handle something like this, because they're observers at UNOSA. They do a lot more work than we do. And we're very young. So what I want to share with everybody is I want to be sure to clear to everyone else that this is not about nation-state interests and helping the Chinese come to our level and blah, 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 blah. If a 3-hour workshop somehow helps China go from, you know, being way behind or being way up, then we have a bigger problem in our hand. We as Americans do. That isn't the point. At the end, the United States, and like I said earlier, I expect the United States to take care of its interests, to be leading in space, to be making the right decisions, to be investing where they need to do the public-private partnership, whatever they got to do. And I'm a part of that. However, comma, as any good strategist, as any good person that is objective about trying to solve a problem, you got to listen. And this is an incredible opportunity to hear. Again, what's going to be said? Probably something scripted. That's to be expected. But again, it's the point of the message is the message of this, that commercialization of space is a challenge in China. It is in the U.S. as well. And part of it is because we have sovereign needs that we have to take care of, and we will take care of. But these sovereign needs hinder our ability to commercialize and grow the industry. So you got a challenge because you don't have consumerism. This isn't like cyber, where there is already a consumer market. And the United States said, well, you know what? We're going to come in and be able to grow within the consumer market, how to do that. This isn't like that. This isn't like defense, where you say, hey, we're going to spend $800 billion, grow a military that is phenomenal, and maintain that and force the rest of the planet to catch up to us and, you know, dare them if they can, and the American will, it cannot be beaten, et cetera, et cetera. So look, do not confuse the security aspect of this, which is separate from the dialogue necessary about how much can be commercialized and how much can be privatized to get consumerism to occur and to these things to happen. And I think what I've heard the other speakers speak, they're speaking about the threats of China. I'm sure they're legit. That's not the question here. That's why we have a military. That's why we have leadership. That's why we have budgets. That's why we vote. Deal with that. But there's a separate discussion, and we got to split the baby from our sovereign needs and knowing what commercialization we can do. If the answer is we cannot do any commercialization, then we now know that. And I guess it's a defense plus, and I don't know, maybe we'll have another $800 billion budget every year that we're going to have to tax pay to do it. But that's none of my business, nor am I in the military. That's not my game. Our game is really simple as a foundation. Get the dialogue going about commercialization of space.
If
we're not going to do it, let's figure it out.
You have an email from Todd in San Diego. And he says, is the workshop to do joint commercial and private sector projects with China, or is it to see China doing their own commercial and private sector and the U.S. doing their own commercial and private sector, and they never merge?
No. Thank you. So let's talk about the structure of the workshop itself. The workshop itself is an academic-based workshop about the, so let's be clear. It's about understanding what does commercialization even mean? What are the questions that you ask before you can even identify the problem about commercialization of space? So for your audience, somebody goes, well, there's a problem with commercialization. Here's what the problem is. No, no, no. That is not the way I would look at this. This workshop is about exchanging what does commercialization mean for them and for us? What are the questions that should be asked before we can even identify a problem about commercialization of space? And then what are the next steps? So in other words, in this workshop, we're not going to get to do any joint work. There is no joint anything. There is no there is no trying to figure out this project and this massive thing. As a matter of fact, that is the exact opposite. What we're trying to test between the Chinese Society on Astronautics, Kalos Foundation, and Secure World Foundation is simply, can you go to a room, objectively discuss without violating any technological or financing rules or thing or giving unfair advantage about the commercialization of space? We have put our discussion in such a manner that it is not necessarily about space. In other words, in order to even ask the questions, we got to look at how does trade between U.S. and China work? How does trade between U.S. and the world work? China and the world works. What is it like? Things have already happened. There is trade between U.S. and China. I know everybody knows that. So why don't you start there instead of trying to talk about the security challenges of space and confusing the discussion? There has to be a general first understanding of each other before you can even ask questions, before you can get solutions, before you can do all these things. And that's how far back we are on the dialogue. We're just like going into a room. We'll have about 100 people in attendance, and they're all got to be screened to make sure there are no rules violated on this side. It's very sensitive. Now, you know, I don't want you to think this is some open door, everybody can come in, high five, it's going to be, you know, all kinds of cameras going on. That is not going to be like that. It is a very reserved event, and it is done in the interest of a dialogue. It is not about favoring anybody. It's about educating and understanding one another and seeing can it be done. And if it doesn't work, then I'll come back 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, and tell you how it didn't work. If it does work, then we'll figure out what's next. But I'm not going to put anything in front of it. This could end tomorrow. This could be shut off tomorrow. The moral of the story is that there is a security aspect to how we're going to grow space. There is a commercialization aspect that is tied to that security that is going to grow space. That's not what this is about. And that discussion is going to get things hot and bloody. What is going to be healthy is saying, what are the questions that we should be asking about commercializing space? How do we define it? How do you separate sovereign needs from private investment? In other words, your audience want to know, what's an example of that? Let me tell you, you drive to Walmart and you go buy something and you look at where it was made, and there's an example of that. Where, in other words, we do have a trade war with China right now, officially, and we've gone back and forth. But guess what? You still go to Walmart and still buy it. And what we're asking is, how much of the Walmart can you do? Might be not much, might be none, might be a little bit. But it has to be asked, and we have to dialogue about it. So that hasn't even been brought up.
Helen is in Denver with an email and says, are you being given any prep or instructions in advance of this workshop by the State Department?
So what I will say is that, in terms, because we're a nonprofit organization and we're working with Secure World Foundation, just to be clear, the foundation nonprofit work is ours. We have given, and to answer Helen's question, we have given the opportunity different agencies in Washington, and we did that this week, to hear, be informed about what we're doing, and if they have some feedback, we received it. We received a lot of feedback. and I'll share some of that feedback in a second, but, and yes, there is, and again, from a legal review perspective, if, you know, to answer Helen's question, from a legal review perspective, there is a process in which our foundations are going to work through to ensure that the room, the dialogue, the words exchange are all within the standards of what our country would have. So don't, it's not a free-for-all. It is, again, I can't stress that enough. It is very careful, calculated. It's not going to be, it's not going to be the big space show with the space symposium kind of thing. It's going to be a very humble, very somewhat scripted, but it's a start. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, I think you did. Can I take a minute, since we're going to omit the break, let me just really quickly thank our second segment sponsors instead of our three-minute break. So I do want to thank the Space Development Network, which wants to see space settlement occurring in our lifetime. And they're an online organization allowing you to join together with others to advance the plan for space development, and they're looking for people with a wide variety of interest and skills. It's a free network to join, and you can get a lot more information by visiting their website, developspace.info. The National Space Society sponsors us. They do have ISDC coming up June 6th through 9th in Alexandria, Virginia. This is the one of the premier space advocate and space conferences of the year. I do plan on being there, by the way, so if anyone is going, make sure you look me up. Probably be well over 1,200, 1,300 people there. All the space policy wonks and people from government are there. This is right in the Washington, D.C. beltway, and it is the big Apollo anniversary year. So NSS, ISDC, you don't want to miss it this year. And you can find it all at the NSS website, stilldonss.org. It'll get you there without any problem. And then Celestis sponsors us, and this is still the only proven Memorial Spaceflight Service in the world. And they do launch from the Cape and from New Mexico on suborbital flights. Vandenberg is orbital as well. They're going to be soon going to the moon, returning. That'll be their second mission of burial to the moon, and also someday to deep space and to Mars. You can include your DNA with the ashes or DNA of your loved one. You can make the symbolic journey together into space. Great closure, and it's a wonderful company to do business with. So please do check them out at Celestis.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Space Show, and please do note that I am an incredibly happy, satisfied customer, having done three launches with them and planning to go to the moon with my dogs and my mom. The Integrated Space Plan is a highly detailed development chart showing the path to becoming spacefaring, and you can see how technologies and destinations build upon one another and explore hundreds of individual elements in more detail at thespaceplan.com, all one word. And you can buy the plan. It comes in two different kinds and sizes, and it's inspiring. You can hang it up. You can frame it. It's very cool. I have it as well. So check it out, everybody, at thespaceplan.com. Sorry for that interruption, but at least we're not doing a three-minute break and giving you more time to talk here.
Yeah. No, and I think your audience very engaging, so I'm very excited. So what I want to do now is give you some of the feedback to the audience of what we got from across different agencies and government officials we talked to. And again, to be totally transparent, the Secure World Foundation, who is, again, I can't stress that to you enough. This isn't about Kayla's Foundation. This isn't about Kayla's partners. This isn't about us. This is about something much bigger than us. So I want to stress that as we go through. And in following the footsteps of the Secure World Foundation as a leading to help us guide us through this, they set up some of the meetings in D.C., and they did a fantastic job doing that. They, as always, I'm very thankful for them, as I am with many, many of the folks that have helped us in community and space the past couple of years. But the feedback that we're getting was, the fundamental feedback is, let's be clear, the United States has sovereign needs, and it has sovereign interests, and it's going to exercise them. And that didn't matter where it is. And to that, we went thumbs up. I'm a taxpayer, retiree, military. Yes, I agree.
Go ahead. You have another email from Bob in New York City. And Bob says, I have a two-part question. And I have also listened to all of David's programming in 2018 on whether or not we should have a Space Force. And I have a question or two, not about the Space Force, but about what has been described as China's behavior. But my first question is this done in English, or do you have to use translators and interpreters? And the second part is, there has been real concern about Chinese behavior in Antarctica over fisheries and treaties that they don't honor, the South Sea islands that they built up to try to control the South China Sea, and other things, especially Chinese and intellectual property and other issues that are paramount not only in our trade talks but in other talks going on, cybersecurity issues, etc. How do you trust the Chinese? What trust-building measures are in place? And I'm sure you're not going into this naive. So how do you deal with the fact that there are real terrestrial behavioral issues with China and real trust issues with China?
So let's answer the first question. It is all in English. So that's the first part.
Okay.
So the second part. So I will now, you know, I still got to answer the back question to the audience about feedback we got, so we'll hold that there. But in terms of this question, how do you trust that? As an individual that deployed in combat for 3+ years, had to deal with, has been in other foreign countries, working with other militaries and adversaries and things, I will share my personal, Jose, how do I cope with the knowledge that I agree, by the way, I agree with your listener that there is, keep a one eye open, which is another feedback. We got, keep your one eye open because they can't be trusted. So I will share how do I cope with that. And part of it is my previous experience in the military. And I will share a personal belief that I do. If you call an enemy, and you treat him like an enemy, he will react and act like an enemy. If you respect somebody that you have a difference of opinion with, and you're willing to listen, then the chances that they will listen to you are much greater and respect you in return for trying. So that is the belief that I go by. And that is the same belief that I go when I'm dealing with Europeans who have a hard time dealing with Americans who are aggressive and are trying to do this, whether it's in South Asia, whether it's in India. It is, I will make the effort in faith that the other folks will listen. And somebody says, well, wow, that's taking it out there. But again, to do this, to do what we're doing, you have to have faith in something greater than you, because you're seeing all around you this imbalance, this back and forth of anger, of behavior, like you said, human behavior, and you have to be above it. And I'm not, again, I don't want to sound like a spiritually guided guy and, you know, some religious guy. No, I'm simply saying anybody who's deployed in combat will tell you that you simply have to believe in the moment, and you have to believe in what's happening is greater than you. Again, could the event happen? Could it be a complete failure and they would embarrass themselves? I have a hard time believing that, number one, in Chinese culture. To save face is a big deal. For them to get this far with us, that's a big deal. I don't see that happening. Now, could it happen? Of course. Could they do a maneuver? Sure, but you have to have faith. And you have to have the right intent. Again, if you treat an adversary like an enemy, he's going to act like an enemy. He's going to screw you up pretty good. And if he's more powerful than you, he's going to blow you out of the water. But if you treat as someone who you disagree with respect, and you're willing to listen, and you're willing to be objective about sharing dialogue, then I think you have the best chance to get it right. And by the way, that is inherent in every single member, either of the foundation or Kayla's partners. You have to believe that this is greater than you. You have to believe that what you're doing is right. If you don't, you're going to screw it up because you're going to make it about yourself. You're going to be selfish. You're going to make assumptions. You're going to go, I'm going to watch out for this, this, and that. Yes. Now, with that being said, does that mean that I just go, well, you know, I'll be naive and I'll just show up? No. I got to do my due diligence. I got to study who's in the room. I got to ask questions. I got to make sure that I'm not, you know, putting myself in risk either with the U.S. or with China or inappropriately, any of the speakers the same way. So yeah, I have to do my job and I have to be present, but I also have to have faith. And that is, again, I don't know how to explain it, but if you ever deployed and you ever done something, anything where you're dealing with an adversary, either locally, and you're trying to get this to come to a head, you got to respect them. And not respect them like, oh, they're better than you or that they're going to be the equals. No, respect them for what they're going to say. And that's all you hope for. And
do you,
you hope that they do the same for you.
Do you trust and verify?
Yeah.
Is there? I guess there's something you can verify out of all of this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be doing a lot of verifying. We're going to verify everything from what they're putting up on the website. Again, we're going to answer all the questions so that they build our trust as well, and we answer their questions. And at the end, like I said, the presentation is not going to be this say whatever you want on the stage. That's not going to be it. We're going to be very respectful of each other, and I have good faith in them because throughout a year, they have been nothing but transparent. They have engaged in the dialogue. They have told us what they can and cannot do, and we've done the same. So there is attraction there. Now, does that mean that there isn't external parties to sabotage this? Sure. But again, I have faith in us. I have faith in a secure world foundation to be diligent, vigilant, and understand this, and do this. And again, if it doesn't work, it didn't work. But to not have the courage to not try, it's unacceptable to me. As a previous soldier and somebody who's been dealing with really, really bad hardships in his life, there's no way in my core, there's no way I'm walking away from it. Yeah. I'm going to be careful, but I'm not walking away from it.
You have another caller. You want to take it?
Great.
Good morning, caller. Who are you? Where are you? Thank you for your call.
This is Dallas Beanhoff, and I'm in the Washington area.
Hey, Dallas,
area.
What's up, man?
Hi,
hello,
Dallas.
Jose. Hello, Dave.
Good to hear from you again, Dallas. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Terrific here.
So I have to apologize. I've only been half listening.
Yeah. Okay.
But this workshop, kind of caught my ear a couple of times, and I got to ask. And I'm sorry if you've answered it before, but where is it? When is it?
Yep.
Who or what type of organizations or people are you inviting, and how would one participate if one wanted to?
I was going to bring that up at the end, but Dallas, since you're still trying to bring it up, and I hope everything is well with you, and there's just lunar work, and
it is.
God bless you for what you do, and so let's answer that. The
okay.
event takes place on the 25th of April in Changsha, China, which is in the middle of Hunan province, and it is in the workshop itself. It's a three-hour workshop. It's nothing to write home about. And there's going to be, and it's, so to not confuse things, so that I'll explain now the overall part. That week is China Space Week, and China Space Day, that whole week, 22 to 28. With the way that the CSA and the CNSA and a different organizers, there's not a single organizer, but there's different organizers have different events going on. So IISL has an event going on in China at the same time. There's a couple other organizations doing international discussions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Our workshop, it's in the 25th, that's smack in the middle, 9 to 12 in the morning. It'll be in a small room, about 100 people. The invites, so in other words, the invitation for that, we're going to send out one. I just got a text from Secure World Foundation that they're going to be putting in the website very shortly, and then it'll have a link for you to register and be able to register, and then they'll validate your registration. You'll get your visa, you know, your invite request. That'll help you get your visa to go. For Kayla's Foundation, we're working on the, as a matter of fact, our volunteers who have been scolding me all week to get this website up, we're putting that out this week, and we will connect that link as well. And on the Chinese Society of Astronautics, who is the the other hosts, so it's Kalis Foundation, Chinese Society of Astronautics. The Kira Will Foundation is supporting us, not directly involved with the workshop. On our end, like I said, we're going to do that. And then in terms of the speakers, we have to, there's only three speakers, 20 minutes each, and they're going to have three speakers, 20 minutes each. No Q&A, and then there'll be a panel at the end with all six with some questions. And that's kind of the structure of the workshop. And again, it's a start. So, you know, Dallas, right. I know you and I are used to having some different discussions of, you know, a much higher challenge, number, but, this one is on the lower end, simple, and the topics again that our team is bringing up are going to be more about international trade, not necessarily about space, because I think there's this discussion. If you start with space, I think you're going in the wrong direction. I think if you start with how international trade relates first and then discuss a little bit about space, I think you go better. We're still working through our speakers and our team and putting our talks together. They're doing the same thing. It's a slow process, Dallas. We're working through it. It's a slug. It's a slug fence. It's one that's taking up. You know me. This one takes up a lot of my time.
Right.
Not many things do, but this one.
Will it be live streamed or podcasted or something?
No. There's no media involved.
Okay.
No interviews. There's going to be no media devices in the room because everybody, and that includes both of us. Of course, one of the biggest concerns is misunderstanding.
Sure.
And misinterpretation, which is a challenge, because you got a language barrier. Somebody says something in English, Mandarin, and blah 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 blah, different dialect of Mandarin. Don't get me started on that. So what we're going to do, which Dallas, I think the way I can scratch your head is post this event, if and when it happens, we're going to write a paper about this.
Okay.
Right now whether it's the both of us or just us, we're still figuring that out. But there's going to be a write-up afterwards with the way ahead. And again, it's a start. It's not nothing to about, but it's a start.
Yeah, that was my next question, so great.
Yes,
I wish you well. It sounds like a good challenging endeavor.
Yeah, no, this isn't like the other business field. This is getting an Army guy to play diplomatic is a little different for me. But it's good.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to hear you too. Good luck, and
we'll chat soon.
Look forward to the report.
Thank you, Dallas.
Thank you,
Have
Dallas.
A great day.
Yep. Thank you for your call.
Bye.
Yeah, you too, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, listeners, there's still time if you would like to call and talk to Jose. 1-866-687-7223. I have one other question, and listeners, as I said, there's still time if you want to call. Tim is in Tucson, Arizona, and he says, my understanding, Jose, is that everything within Chinese space is part of the Chinese military. How does this influence your position in talking with them and trying to have a dialogue?
So Tim, thank you. Let me help the audience articulate and understand and try to explain how does the Chinese Society of Astronautics, which is the nonprofit organization, connects to the system that they have. Because again, like Tim is right, the machine. If you were to say, if you say the machine is connected to the military, that is the equivalent, Tim, of saying Lockheed Martin is the military. It's OSD. It's kind of hard. I don't know. You know, the translation doesn't go right, but it's the equivalent of that. You go, well, depending on where you see Lockheed Martin, God bless them, great company, Northrop and your sponsors. They're all great companies, but they're all commercial companies. They make their own decisions. They're publicly traded, blah, 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 blah. China, as you know, is a little bit different. So to first articulate to your callers, the size, the sheer mammoth size of something like China's National Space Agency, it dwarfs over the size of the U.S. both exploration and defense-based apparatus in terms of size. So to say that everything is military, you could. That's the equivalent of saying, well, NASA's meeting the U.S. national interest, and those are for security purposes. So to yes, they're right, but in some ways is not quite right. So there are, while everything is connected, there are parts where the CNSA, through its two companies, the two big private companies that are governmental, you know, I know that sounds kind of weird, but called CASC and CASIC. There are other companies as well, but those are the big two that we'll talk about for purposes of your audience. Those big two, CASC manages acquisition, R&D, growth, meeting requirements for demands for space from anybody. So it could be the military, it could be CNSA, it could be other people. So they are a company, and there are portions of the CASC that are not for Jose to ever talk to, deal with, or stay away from, just so you're clear. So not all of CASC is that. Just like the CASIC that deals with the education, job creation, generation, talent management of the entire space industry, which is, again, an estimated 5 million engineers. Just think of how big that is. 5 million kind of rocket scientists. What the heck do you do with them? I'll let you ponder on that for a little bit. So you got those organizations. So, yes, the machine is connected, but not all the pieces of the machine are such that we could never, ever, ever talk to them. There are some more parts of the machine that you like don't. If they're even in the same room with you, you need to boogie on out the door and go somewhere else. So anybody who is doing this type of journey knows that, and you have your piece of paper on you to know what those organizations are. So let's separate that. When it comes to the Chinese Society of Astronautics, because they're a nonprofit organization that manages the interaction between external audiences around the world and the entire apparatus, they themselves know what parts of their internal they're not allowed to see. So, of course, we're going to check our own work, but they do the due diligence to make sure they don't put some of their foreigners that they connect with in a room with the inappropriate person. And they make a very divisive line. And from my experience, the time I visited and the exchange, they've been very clear about dividing that line for us because they don't want to get themselves in trouble. Remember, their job as a nonprofit is to make sure they maintain relations. So they don't want Jose getting in trouble with Chinese. They're the same thing. They don't want us getting in trouble with our own country. So they're very, very sensitive to that. That's their livelihood. That's a stake. So, and the same thing for us. We don't want any trouble either. So I hope I answered your question to kind of articulate that. Now, does that mean that the machine doesn't talk to itself? Yeah, the machine talks to itself all the time, just like our machine talks to itself all the time. That's no different. But at least fundamentally, the effort is done to split the baby and make sure of as much as possible, and there's no mistakes there. That is zero defect in terms of coordination that we have to have.
But is
I answer that.
Is there a military priority overlay even on commercial space because of the Chinese program?
Okay. Listen, I am not an expert on that. And again, so the answer to this question is not that I'm not going to punt it, but I'm going to go with what I do know. And so it depends on the contract. That's the answer to the question. In other words, you could have, there are certain entities that already do business with the Chinese military, entities within the organization that do business. They do that through contracting. And that's how you kind of stay away from them because they do certain contracts. It's no different than how I'm trying to translate it for your audience. That's how, no different than when, then when the OSD has a very specific classified contract with Northrop Grumman. No one's going to know about it. They're not going to tell you about it. So it is depending on the contracting, and that contracting is what then highlights where you kind of stay away from. And the more contracting they do, the more you stay away from certain pieces. But that's the best educated answer I can give you.
Okay.
So what I want to do is, you know, with the remaining time, is articulate two things. We wrote an abstract, a two-page-plus abstract, the Cure World Foundation and us. We'll put that out in the web page for you, for the listeners to download and read. But I want to highlight that at the end, you know, this is the workshop in China is just one event that the foundation is doing. This is not all we're doing. We do a lot more than that. We're just getting warmed up and started. This is, you know, I never anticipated this would be the warm-up event. I would have never anticipated that, but that's okay. But what I want to highlight to the audience is the biggest lesson I've learned so far on the foundation is that dialogue, transparency, and resiliency are the three key things you got to have for commercializing the space domain. So in other words, there is a correlation between the dialogue that is had either inside a country or between nations, the transparency between those nations, and the resiliency when things go wrong between nations that allow for the best growth of consumerism, being able to allow space companies to get more of the Earth market share. That's what we're finding is the best way to do these things. So in other words, there is the business side. You got to make contracts, you got to do this. But what we're finding is a very, very distinct correlation that either domestically and abroad, if there is not a vehicle for dialogue, not for putting interest first, but simply trying to understand what the other guy's doing. And that's even between allies, by the way. So don't think of this like China, U.S. Just think of U.S. and its allies. And then the transparency in what they do it. And the resiliency is a big deal. And I'll share for you guys, you know, where is that? Unfortunately, this is not in the space domain, but where we drew inspiration from for some of this that the foundation, the Cure World Foundation, our foundation did. And that is cancer research. As some of you know, I've had cancer in the past, and I survived it. And of course, when you have it, you kind of learn a lot about it. So, of course, in my line of work, I obviously understood how international cancer is recognized. And what you found is that something like cancer that has a direct impact on the consumer, being the person looking for help, has no boundaries. It really does not. When it comes to research, people come together. They are very transparent about the types of research they're doing and the findings. In terms of trade, we see many, many companies being able to sell abroad, bringing technology from abroad, intellectual properties. There is a security aspect to cancer. I'm not aware of that until I had it myself back in 14, that there is a whole host of biotechnological research that is very, very sensitive. That is also secured. And by the way, cancer cure is a multi-trillion dollar industry. Do not undersell it. And when I see that, somebody says, well, there's no hope in space. I go, well, maybe there isn't. But if it affects the human race, and if human race is involved, if consumers are involved in it, you can be rest assured that the dialogue, the transparency, and resiliency will start to exist. That is why from both the foundation and Kayla's partners, we take the economic development on the ground seriously. And in our paper we shared, we said everybody keeps looking up about this commercialization of space and how to build money in space and value creation. And the fact is very few people are looking at the ground and taking care of and trying to address the consumer need. They may be taking care of their profit, but not the consumer need and the economic development. And I have more examples that I can cite where my heart breaks, where an opportunity exists either in a community that has a spaceport or in a community that has significant development in space, and they can't, and that community is not getting the energy that it needs to create revenue inside the city borders or the regional border. So So, and then my parting shot is if you're interested in this, and again, you know, some people have sensitivity on the China thing, but if you're interested in the dialogue about the commercialization of space and how we do it, how we're going to go about it worldwide, and you want to participate in either as a volunteer, as a member in this, there's going to be more coming on this. And obviously, we're going to raise money for this because it is important. It is about human decision making. I urge you to reach out to me. My email, I'll put it with the foundation. I'll put a two pager on the foundation, and you can get with To Tran, who is our executive director, and then get with us. Obviously, some of you know, we're going to be really busy the next month and a half getting ready for this workshop. But please know that this is going to grow, and we're going to keep trying. If it doesn't work, we go to the next one. And it isn't always going to be China. It isn't always the census. Some things are a lot simpler. It just this one's the one we let off because it was in front of us and it was the right thing to do. And that's why we did it. It ain't because we had an ulterior motive. It's just that's the way, I guess, God led it. the best way I can put it.
Hopefully, after you return from China, you will be able to talk freely and come back on the program and tell us about the workshop.
I will. And again, for your listeners, if you kind of want to follow the thread, we've had the documents very well laid out. Community Space, the campaign. In January, after 18 months, we released the lessons learned from that and the implications. Micah talked about some. I talked about some today. The foundation, we're going to lay that out in the website with Gwen and the team. And then this workshop. And you'll see the linear. For those of you that are engineers and like to see the linear connection, there is a linear connection because ultimately, as I've said before, it is about connecting the universe to the human soul and about helping people make decisions about being a part of the community of space. And we're really excited about this. And there is a pucker factor to it, but at the same time, we're honored, we're humble, and we'll see what happens.
Can I upload the papers you sent me to our blog?
I will send you the ones because there are some restrictions on them, like permissions,
okay,
passwords, that kind of stuff on them.
Okay.
But I'll send you an easy one for folks.
So you'll send me a fresh package to.
Yes, sir.
So I won't do anything with what you.
Don't do anything
me.
Yet. I'll send you some today.
Okay. Well, I'll archive the show by early in the morning at the latest. So it would be great to have whatever you want to upload.
Yep.
Around the same time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very interesting and challenging. I'm really anxious to hear how the workshop goes and your impressions on it and what comes out of it. So I'll look forward to talking to you again sometime after April when you're back in the
country.
Absolutely. And until the next time. And I'm sure there
Thank
will
you
be,
so much.
Be a next time. Thank you very much, Jose. And really interesting work. And you frame things in ways nobody else does. And I commend you and the people with
you.
And I'm glad you're using the space show as a forum to get the word out. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. And if I can, for one second, tell your audience, we made a choice in the Canlis Partnership Foundation to share our story through the space show. And solely the space show. We don't normally do interviews. We've done very few presentations and space shows and things like that. And it is because this is not about a marketing gimmick. This is not about trying to corral people and, you know, con them into putting money into this thing. We do our fundraising and work separately and very quietly and discreetly. But we choose the space show, number one, because the audience is unbelievable. It's about what you see is what you get. Number two, and everybody knows this, when it comes to David, no one else we trust to allow us to present a message objectively without trying to put a block in it or without trying to mess with it. And we have a common, him and I like to share, we have a common belief in having faith in each other and trusting each other. And then the last thing to share with everybody is please know this wasn't about us. I mean, we, as a matter of fact, we started in Seattle with the Museum of Flight, who gave us an opportunity, and the Secure World Foundation, and the Space Foundation, and NASA iTech, and a whole, and UNOSA, who has been very gracious. So there were a bunch of folks that along the way have helped us in this. So it isn't just some rich people or whatever. There's been incredible space people. And in some cases, we've ran into the wrong people, and I've written that in many in my paper, that were incredibly corrupt and evil. And that's okay. It's okay to run into that. And we dealt with them, and we're glad we met them early, rather than when the big money's on the ground and we got to do something big like this. So the journey has been great, and the reason why we do these shows here is because you can see from December 17, where you literally listen to that, sometimes I cringe because it was so hard to try to explain the way we were going to do this to today, where we can smoothly tell you, hey, this organization is looking at economic development on Earth to help space, and then this organization, Kalos Foundation, is looking at the dialogue for the commercialization of space globally in order to help relieve some of the government dependency for space and help grow the private sector in order for people to make better decisions. So, again, David, God bless you. Thank you for what you're letting us do, and I look forward to continuing the journey with you and your audience.
Absolutely, and thank you for coming on and telling us about that, and we'll keep doing it with you. And safe travels when you go to China.
Thank you, sir.
We'll look forward to hearing about it when you get back.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Listeners, that's it with Jose today. And come back Sunday. We have a Sunday Space Show program. It's 12 noon California time. So everybody have a great weekend. Keep looking up, as we like to say, and stay safe. And goodbye from Jose, goodbye from David, and goodbye from the Space Show.